Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. You want to talk about sitting down and being out of sorts when you come to the microphone, right? Well, welcome to The Drift. What we do every Saturday is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com.
The news you need to know.
Yes, and I'm sitting in here with Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Hey.
Boy, just completely.
We're just talking about how Theron can come up to a mic with like 3 seconds to spare or less and just start in as if you would never know it.
And that threw me all off, and I was sitting here like a numbskull, right?
No.
Okay, well, let's take care of a little business before we get into the meat of the show here. Diggett Services, LLC, complete mini excavator and skid steer services. You got some work around the house or the farm that you need done, don't do it by hand. Get a tractor, small tractors, and excavating equipment that Mike's got. 248-789-7619. That's Mike Kuzma. 248-789-7619. He'll give you estimates. He'll come out and do the work. He's a good guy. He's got great equipment. You get it done quick and fast.
He's got the skill.
And he's got the skill to do it. So Diggett Services, LLC. You can probably Google him up and Facebook him too. But 248-789-7619.
And check his ad in the Current Online.
And yes. And you know what? If you're not going to Current Online, you should. It's CourantOnline.com. If you're not getting the print version, you'll see it online. It's the same thing. You can print off the coupons if you need to and take those in and tell them you read it in the Current or you heard it here on the Drift Radio Show.
And they'll never know the difference.
They'll never know the difference. And if you want to email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com, if you want to put something on the Daily Drift or if you want to email us something for the show, feel free, or call in 734-822-1600. Joanne, listener Joanne, sent me a quick email about Occasional Cortex's 70% Green Deal tax. And she says, do you remember when the French government imposed a 70% tax on millionaires? Remember that? And everyone left France.
Yep.
And they went away. Well, there you go, Miss Cortex. All the people who know how to make money and get taxed will leave the country and will be poor.
Like the people who have left New York, right?
It's just stupid. You know, did you ever see the email? Not an email. It's a YouTube video, Eat the Rich. And I'm trying to remember the guy.
No.
I'll have to play it again. It's kind of a long video. But it talks about what do you do to – starting at the beginning of the year, how are you going to fund the entire government based on the budget? It's probably worse now. This is probably 7, 8 years old. And first thing we're going to do is we're going to take all the money from the rich people. Boom, right there. And then we're going to take all their investors, all their investments from their businesses the next day. We're going to take all the...
That funds one day.
Yeah, that's the way it does. Yeah. You're literally going week by week through the year. And at the end of the year, you've taken the money from the sports stars. You've taken the money from the sports teams owners. You've taken the money from all the Hollywood celebrities and everything else. And at the end of the year, you just might make it. But there's nothing left for the second year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do? All the money to invest and start over again is gone because you ate the rich. That's what you did. And then there's nothing left. So, you know, I always like to say capitalism is really the only perpetual engine that exists, right? We always look for that perpetual engine for energy or whatever. There's only one perpetual energy where you give somebody $100 and you say, hey, you know, I'm going to go out and spend a couple bucks on labor. I'm going to spend a couple bucks on material. I'm going to put a product together. I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to have more value when I'm done so that I can reinvest and go farther. That's capitalism.
You just said the word. That's the key word right there, invest. Because under communism and socialism, you don't invest. You
Correct.
Don't own in it. You just take from it.
Yep.
But in capitalism, in order to get something out of it, you put something into it. You put intelligence, effort, and
– labor,
exactly.
Material.
Right, and money. And you put some of your money or somebody else's money if you can get them to fund you, and then you build something. Other people buy it. It grows. And it's not a zero-sum game.
Exactly.
Everybody acts like it's a zero. You know, on the left, it's a zero-sum game. There's only so many finite resources.
Yeah.
Just like oil was going to run out 20 years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Finite resources.
It's funny. I want to do this one show. There's a geologist guy that Gruber had on that I want to get because I wanted to ask him this question because Rush brought this up. Now, years ago, I read an article where somebody said – we're
going.
Getting deep in the weeds and way off track here today. But it's interesting. So let me get it off before
I forget
about
it. Oil is being generated as we speak. Is that it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And the theory is that oil in the ground does not come from the dead animals and sea creatures.
It's called burial something. And Dennis from the formerly Weller on Tea Party,
yeah.
We had him on last year.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about that one day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
they've
literally gone back to wells that have been dried out. They tapped all the oil out, and they've gone back a few years later, and all of a sudden there's oil in there again. What, did dinosaurs crawl down there and die?
That's just it. You either have the dead dinosaur and foliage model, which is just absurd to think about that. Remember the Sunoco? Was it Sunoco? No, Sinclair. Sinclair Oil had the dinosaur as its logo because that's where the oil came from.
It was Sinclair Oil. I believe that because then that same article that I read years ago also said that some of the satellites that have been passing through the solar system on their way out have passed some of the moons of Saturn and Jupiter, and they're finding hydrocarbons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think there's any dinosaurs and plants Mm-mm. growing on those moons and planets. So where are the hydrocarbons coming from? Literally, they're like oil traces or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're picking up. So maybe it's just all that hot magma that's down underneath the crust is actually making and creating oil of some sort.
Tin foil now, they're saying there may not be everything as far down. We may actually be sitting on, and I don't know about this. I'm just saying I read this somewhere. Yeah,
Don't go to the hollow earth theory, please.
Right. No, but there's a large, like a large sea underwater. I mean underwater, under the mantle.
Of water.
Yeah.
Who knows, right? Could be.
Don't know. We haven't been there yet.
We haven't been there yet. None
just
of us
guessing.
Know. But what brought this back up to me, Rush Limbaugh a few weeks back brought this up. And I'm like, Rush believes that theory too? Well, maybe it's getting some traction. I don't know.
I read about it for a while after Dennis told me about it. And I'm not convinced. I'm not unconvinced. It's just, put it on the back burner. And as facts come and either fit it or refute it, you just build on it. You don't have to buy into it because it's not going to get you more oil at the moment.
Yeah, it just never struck me as being completely rational that dead plants and animals could die and be covered up by sediment for, thousands of feet of sediment, really?
You might have thought that 100 years ago when you didn't know what the oil reserves were.
Yeah.
You know, when oil was first being discovered in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, when it was 100 feet down or something.
Yeah.
Right? And now they're thousands of feet down. Well, how did the animals and
plants we got oil at the time from whales, right? Everybody was lighting their candle lamps with whale oil. And so obviously oil was organic in that sense. You know, it had to come from something. So,
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. Let's do that again sometime.
That's a real odd thing. I don't know how we got on that track, but
somebody's going to save us with a phone call.
Somebody is going to save us. We're talking about oil. Tim from Westland. Welcome to the show, Tim. Thanks for saving me on this one.
You're welcome. My pleasure. One thing, when we first dug and drilled and found oil, we pulled it up through layers that had biological material buried in the ground.
Yeah.
So they found the biological material in the oil.
Okay.
And that's where the theory of all the dead stuff creating our oil came from.
But
the Russians actually did some drilling in the ocean where there wasn't, and they went deep enough down where they were pulling oil out of the earth that hadn't been in any contact with any biological material. So like you guys are saying, our Earth's core is a hot, molten mess, and most of our planet is made out of carbon, and there's an awful lot of pressure down there. So it's as if the Earth itself is a hydraulic, what's the new oil technique?
Fracking.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost as if the Earth is a giant ball of fracking going on at the core, and that's what keeps regenerating the oil.
Yeah, because there's so much in the crust and the material of the earth that whatever, when you boil something hot enough, and obviously the temperature's down there, that you're going to create something. But, well, that's good. Well, thanks, Tim. I appreciate it, because at least that kind of verifies my tinfoil theory here anyways.
My pleasure. And when they, you know, then they came up with the, we're going to run out because there weren't that many dead dinosaurs.
Well, exactly.
It's not even true.
Right. Yep. Exactly. All right. Well, great call. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. Well, there we go. So we have some of the most educated listeners on the planet, and we'll thank Tim for it. I don't know why we got into that. I'm sorry, but we're going to have Tim Walberg, Congressman Tim, call at the bottom of the
talking
hour.
About dig it?
No. We're digging for oil. Yeah. That's what we're doing. No. Let's talk wall funding. That's really, we'll ask Tim, get his take on it. But the president this week said, well, I'll declare a national emergency and I'll build it using emergency disaster funds or military funds.
Declare an emergency and use military funds.
Yeah.
Now people are talking about posse comitatus. And we've talked about that a few weeks ago, what that is. And basically that is just something that popped up after the Civil War that said you can't use federal troops to enforce the law domestically. It has nothing to do with the border and protecting the border. Or if we were being invaded, you could never use – I mean, could you imagine – we were being invaded by Mongol hordes from Mexico with guns. Let's just say with guns. They're going to invade. And we say, hey, we got warning. We can defend ourselves. Let's put the troops down there and maybe even build a wall against these people intruding with guns, not just drugs, but guns. And then some Democrat liberal says, oh, no, posse comitatus.
Yeah,
you can't send federal. That's ridiculous.
And that's what they're doing, right? Because they've already got their lawyers in place. The minute Trump does the national emergency and goes to do that, within minutes they'll have filed against
in the
Ninth Circuit, right, or whatever the one
it'll
in
be
DC
the Ninth
is,
Circuit,
right?
Because it's their area.
Yeah, and so can you imagine
or Hawaii
a political party in the United States that would file a lawsuit to not protect? To stop you from protecting
the United
States.
I don't have to imagine that.
States.
It exists. We call it the Democrat Party.
The Democrat Party. Folks, you got to understand what – I still don't understand how people elected a House. You know, it makes me think fraud, but I'm not going there.
We did it.
We elected Democrats, including Ocasio-Cortez, and Nancy Pelosi is now our speaker, Maxine Waters. All these people got reelected, knowing full well that the government is got wide open borders.
We had people stay home, remember? We had people stay home, didn't go to vote.
And that's a shame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's take a call from Joe in Ann Arbor, wants to talk about oil. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Joe? What do you got?
All right. Well, there's a term I haven't heard you guys use that describes this oil or makes reference to it. About the oil that the Russians dug really deep to get to. And it's what is referred to as abiotic oil.
That's it.
Yes. Abiotic, meaning there's no right. Biological whatever.
It's, yeah, something along those lines.
So is it a fact, Joe, that some oil that comes out of the ground is biotic oil?
Or abiotic oil.
Okay. I'm we'll have to get some. This always interests me, but I'm adult. I think I had one geology class in college.
That term, and you'll probably pull up all kinds of stuff on it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I did. When Dennis told me about it, that's how I looked
at
it.
Well, maybe we'll get Dennis in here, since I don't know any other geology. I'd really like to get that guy from Gruber. I'll have to put
you
a
know
call.
Dennis Moore?
Yes. Dennis Moore is who I was talking about. Yeah.
Yes, he's the one. He was our former Tea Party leader. That's where I learned about it.
Yeah, well, he pawned it off on me too. We were sitting at dinner once, and he brought it up. Yeah,
hey, it is a small world. But now he's living down in South Carolina.
But he can call in.
In a town that he refers to as Mayberry.
Yeah, there
I'll have him call in about it. We'll
I see if I can get a hold of him. I think I still got his number.
Okay, so
I don't know if he's getting you guys down there. So
yeah, if he goes online, whamradio.com, you can certainly get it online. So Joe, before I let you go, I'm going to survey you. Where do you stand on the wall?
What's that again?
I'm going to survey you and ask you, where do you stand on building the wall?
Oh, definitely for it.
Okay.
You know, and I would take, I would go along with the recommendations of our Border Patrol agents, mm-hmm. because those are the guys that are putting their lives on the line, that they want to have a wall that they can see through or have some kind of ability to see through it.
Right.
So whether, you know, it be metal slats or slot, open slots in an actual concrete wall, I just want to make those guys happy.
Yes.
If they're happy, I know that they're going to protect us.
Yes, exactly. All right, great call, Joe. Hey, appreciate it.
One second. Joe?
Bye-bye.
Joe, you there?
Yeah, we lost him.
Well, Joe, if you're listening, will you call back and give Derek Dennis's number in case I can't find it in my phone? Thanks.
Okay, so, well, he makes a good point, though. This is what I think it's the survey was over 90% of border agents need and expect a wall to help them. And it's simple common sense, right? Because here's what it comes down to. You can put an additional 1,000 border agents on the payroll. You're not going to be able to stop a mass influx of 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people show up at the border. How are you going to arrest all of them? Are you going to have one border agent for each person to stop them from coming over and arrest them? Somebody's going to get hurt. That's what it comes down to.
Well, here's the thing. The Dems want, they say, oh, we can have a more modern, more technological version of the wall. We can have drones. We can have more agents. Oh, there's a problem with that. And I'll tell you why they want to do it that way. They may fund all kinds of technological stuff, but once somebody crosses the border and they get caught by the Border Patrol, what happens?
They get arrested.
And?
And put in jail.
No.
Or let loose.
They claim asylum. Then they're let loose. Then they're, you know, back in 30 days, please. And they never do. So all these people march across the border, overwhelm our border agents. If you put a wall up, you stop that nonsense from happening. Now you find the climbers, you catch them with drones. You do that, you got a fraction of the people coming into the country.
Yeah.
But the Dems want the people coming into this country.
Well, sure they do, because they disappear into California, get their driver's license, and next thing you know, they're voting Democrat.
So waste the money on helicopters, waste the money on drones, waste the money on whatever you want to do, because they're still going to get across, they're still going to get here, they love it.
Yeah.
And they talk about wasting money on a wall.
Well, if you're really a humanitarian and you want to avoid people getting hurt, people getting shot, what is the result of a border where you have just in places along the border, there is nothing more than a rail, right?
Yeah.
It's a log, basically, that they've put on a couple of posts, and that's it. You can walk under it, over it, whatever you want to do. When 5,000 people show up, armed with rocks, maybe some with guns, and 100 border agents show up, right? Agent Terry.
Got shot.
By a Mexican.
Here illegally.
Another guy got hit in the face with a rock not long ago. I think somebody actually died from a rock, too, if I recall. But 5,000 people show up, rush the border. What is 100 border agents going to do? Or 100 National Guardsmen going to do? They're not going to be able to stop them, number one. Mm-hmm. And now what do you resort to? Tear gas, rubber bullets? If you start getting shot at, it's time to shoot back. And now you've got people dying at the border because they're coming across illegally, walking over that. Put up a simple fence, the slatted steel that he's talking about.
Yeah.
What it does is slows people down to the point where, A, they're coming across, they're climbing over on their 40-foot ladder, whatever. They're handing the kids down. It gives you time to grab the kids, make sure the kids are safe, and maybe stop the parents from coming over or at least arresting the parent when he comes over. And then, you know, find a way to put them.
People. It dissuades people. That's the biggest thing. It's the psychological component.
Yes.
Also, a wall, you could sell advertising. It'll pay for itself.
I thought about that the other day, too.
I put it on Facebook. Everybody seemed to like it.
Yeah, I mean, at least in San Diego.
Somebody showed pictures of Kate Steinle, Agent Terry, and all these other people, their picture on the sections of the wall. But no, I'm saying sell advertising.
Well, there you go.
Immigration lawyers could advertise. How's that?
Exactly.
Got a gazillion of them in this country.
Right?
Yeah,
both sides. It's like a giant billboard either side.
Exactly.
On the Mexican side, it's in Spanish. You know, on the English side, it's in English. You know, get your lawyers, get your whatever. Yep. You could probably pay for the wall that way, right?
Talk to Tim about that. See if. Oh, look at that light up.
Holy Toledo. What's going on here? All right, let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How about wall construction companies could advertise on the wall?
He almost had coffee all over his microphone. That's great.
Hey, look, you know, the problem with a virtual wall is that they can defund it anytime they want to.
Right.
We need a permanent wall. We need a wall that's going to be there, and they have to actually spend money to take it down.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. That's the other point.
Yeah, yep. I don't care what you talk about when it comes to technology. 5,000 people show up at the border. Drones, cameras, high-tech software, whatever you've got is not going to stop a rush of human flesh coming across the border. The only thing that stops that is a fence, a wall, barbed wire, razor wire, whatever. You have to have a physical barrier. It's that simple.
Yeah. And, you know, the cartels, they'll just get their own drones, and we'll have drone wars over the border.
Right? Right?
I'm going to write a book.
Yeah, there you go.
Drone Wars.
What else you got, Gary?
Okay, you guys have a great day. I'm in a meeting. We're at the Conservative Union meeting right now.
Okay.
See you, Gary.
So we're trying to make Michigan great again.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to expound upon your point and expose some of the Democrat argument. A border fence wall, whatever, won't stop everybody. You have a ladder. They use things to shimmy up and down. I hate slapping because they just use things to shimmy up and down each side. But you do something to stop the majority. You're not going to stop everybody. But the Democrats keep saying, well, yeah, we can't use a wall because it's not 100% effective. Well, murder laws aren't 100% effective. Do Democrats want to eliminate murder laws because it doesn't make the murder rate zero? You stop everyone you can.
Yeah. And then it's not a no-brainer either when Nancy Pelosi says we need more money at the border point. Fine. Then put another $5 billion in for the border entry, the ports of entry, and then give us our $5 billion for the wall, too. Why wouldn't you do both, Nancy? Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And cut it from the foreign aid we're sending to Central America.
Bingo.
They take it out of their money. We shouldn't be funneling all that money to them anyway.
Do we send money to Mexico?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Foreign aid to Mexico?
Oh, yeah. It was just in the news.
Okay,
not too
cut
long
that,
ago,
and that makes the Mexicans pay for it.
Done Bingo, deal. Right?
Yeah.
It's a simple
thing. Take $5 million off, they've paid for it.
Yeah. Or put the tax on the money transfers back to Mexico.
I like that idea.
I really like that idea, too. We should be taxing that money that's going out.
What's
we
the percentage? What do you like?
Money to stay here. Anybody sending money, and not just to Mexico, anybody sending money out of the U.S. to any other nation should have a fee or a tax on it. The money is meant to stay in our economy.
Yeah. I would say unless somebody here legally is earning and paying the regular tax that the rest of us pay, then I would say that's your money. You don't have to pay the additional to ship it out of the country. But if you can't prove that you earned your money, paid tax on your money here like the rest of us, you should be taxed when you send it out of the country.
There might be corporate interests there. There might be some entanglement with companies that are sending money as an investment in a foreign country. And you know what I mean? And that's something they've done
devils
before.
In the details. You can work it out.
Yeah.
But the average Western Union guy or whoever, someone's walking up and sending money back to Guadalajara or wherever, you know doggone well they're probably working for cash under the table here in the construction trades, and shame on all our construction companies who are employing people like that. That should be a no-brainer, 10% tax or whatever it is, 17%, whatever we pay, whatever our poorest people are, lower tax
bracket. Well,
that, and
like you
is.
Said, E-Verify.
Use E-Verify.
Why is that not the law?
I don't know. But if you've lived and worked in the trades like I have, I've been chased out of the painting, the drywall, the carpentry, the roofing, you name it. I was there. I saw the deterioration in the economy for tradespeople. You used to be able to make a job and make a living and buy a house and raise a family as a painter, a drywaller, carpenter. It's very difficult to do that anymore. You can't. You know, and that's a damn shame that our tradespeople, that's why people aren't going into the trades anymore.
Yeah.
That simple.
They can't speak the language.
What else you got, Joe, before the end of the hour?
Oh, that's it. Keep up the good work, guys. Love you.
See all right,
Joe,
love you too. Take care,
calling.
Man.
Bye-bye.
All right, so Joe actually sent us a link for the Daily Drift this week, and if you have one of those, put it on there, and I'll even give you a contributing
editor, Joe editor. From
Wyandotte. There you go. Absolutely right. But we've got Tim coming up at the end of the hour, at the bottom of the hour, so we'll have him call into the show. And we'll see all of you on the other side of the break. This is The Drift. I know what you
going down for real. It's going down for real. And they already know me. It's going down further than famous girls get wetter than Katrina. Yeah, my girl, you never see.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Add another Democrat to the list of 2020 White House hopefuls.
I am a candidate for President of the United States of America.
Former HUD Secretary Julian Castro announcing his candidacy in San Antonio. He's the fourth Democrat to announce his White House intentions. He joined Senator Elizabeth Warren, Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, and Maryland Representative John Delaney. Now 22 days old, the partial government shutdown starting to hit home for many.
At Miami International Airport this weekend, one of its terminals is shut down because TSA screeners working without pay have been calling in sick at a higher rate, and there's concern that there won't be enough staffing to handle all 11 checkpoints. Over at the FDA, they are now scaling back the food safety inspections, limiting them to facilities that are considered high risk after about 40% of its staff got furloughed.
Fox's Garrett Tenney. This is Fox News.
How much do you need to save for retirement? Hi, I'm Rick Edelman, founder of Edelman Financial Engines. The question's simple, but the calculation can be complex. How much you need to save for retirement depends on how much income you want, what outside sources you'll have, like Social Security and pensions. And here's the good news. You don't have to guess. We can give you the answer. For more than 32 years, we've shown people just like you how much you need to save for retirement and how to invest it. And now's your chance. Call us for the personal financial advice and investment management services you need with local offices to serve you. At Edelman Financial Engines, we're happy to help you whether you have a little to invest or a lot or anything in between. Come see why thousands of folks just like you rely on Edelman Financial Engines. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney, now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Which way is right? Which way is wrong? How do I say it?
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarink.
Hey.
Hey. Well, let's take care of a little business. Amish Furniture Outlet. You can get a 20% off coupon out of the current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T online.com. And Amish Furniture Sales, Furniture Refinishing, Furniture Repairs. If you're going to buy furniture, buy real wood furniture that you can pass on to your kids and grandchildren. I've got wood in my house. It's furniture that came from great aunts and uncles. And
chipboard doesn't count.
No chipboard, no IKEA stuff. You're not going to be able to pass your IKEA stuff on, I can assure you of that.
If it makes it that long.
734-449-8000. 734-449-8000. It's Amish Furniture Outlet, right off of M36 and US 23, right there in Whitmore Lake. So check them out at 734-449-8000.
And give them a call because they're sometimes out making deliveries and so call first.
Literally a small business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got great furniture and they do a great job. Well, we've got Congressman from 7th District of Michigan, Tim Walberg, calling in. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, and I'm sitting in a rocking chair that rocked my father to sleep.
Oh, there you go. So a nice, wow. A nice real wood. There you go. You got to have that real wood furniture.
Goes back to the early 1900s, so it still works. It's all wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Early IKEA.
So, Tim, lots to talk about on the shutdown of the border wall and everything else, but I wanted to ask you one question that's maybe a little more local of nature, and I think you might have some insight into this. We had a family, tragic drunk driving accident. They killed a family out of Dearborn, Michigan this week. And yesterday, one of your cohorts in Congress, Debbie Dingell, came up with the idea of putting breathalyzers as standard equipment in all vehicles starting whenever. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about that. I've heard discussion of that type of thing in the past, and it is a super expensive, and it has to be used. And for those of us that, frankly, have never been drunk or driven drunk.
Or drink at all.
Drink at all, yeah.
Or to be required every time I start up my car to do a breathalyzer blow. That just it doesn't work. We have to find better ways of doing it. And nothing will be perfect in life. There will be people that do stupid things, do illegal things. But for the rest of us to have to suffer under that same thing and the same costs. I think sometimes we just have to use common sense.
Yeah. Do you remember the active seatbelt systems from a few years ago? Remember those motorized seatbelt systems you'd get in and it'd strangle you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of here. That went over real well. That breathalyzer, would it catch pot? Would people be selling bags of air that you push, that you squeeze like a bulb syringe into the breathalyzer so you can drive drunk anyhow? I mean, geez, this woman.
Yeah, it's the poster child idea for stupidity, if you ask me. I mean, that's what Democrats seem to do.
You know, I'm sure it's very good intentions, knowing Debbie, but
I don't.
I guess I'd have to debate that with her and say, listen, let's find a better way. Let's make sure that we enforce the law when we find the need to enforce it, make it very clear. But in the end, some tragic things happen, and all we can do is say, let's do better in the next time. Let's try to shape our culture in such a way that the responsibility carries forward. But there are risks with freedom.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tim, you've had a couple of weeks now, or a week anyways, with your new Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. How are you finding the job this time around?
Well, I was there once with her as Speaker, and it wasn't fun then. I think it's less fun now because at least back then there was a president, a Republican president, who was on his last 2 years of office, was going out, and Nancy was just coming in. They had control at that time of the House. They had control at that time of the Senate. And so it was just the way it was. This time we have a president who is capable of doing great things for this country, and thus far has done great things for this country. He's had a Congress that has given him such things as the tax cut bill that passed, 16 major regulatory reforms that passed, full funding for our military to get them up to speed, and a number of other things. So we've done opioid heroin abuse legislation that he's had the opportunity of signing. But he's made the promise, at least two promises that are still left undone. One was health care reform. The House gave him that, but Senator McCain killed it, so it didn't get to his desk. And then second is the wall, the promise that was first and foremost in his campaign. And it wasn't done just to build a wall. He's a builder, yes, but he doesn't need to just build a wall. He truly believes that this isn't, as some of my Democrat colleagues are trying to make you believe, and certainly the fake news, that this is a manufactured crisis. Well, you tell that to the family of the slain police officer that was killed, Officer Singh, by a illegal alien who had been deported, I believe, once and came back in, and this happened. You tell that to Brian Terry's family, who was shot during the Fast and Furious times guarding our border. You tell that to the 31% of even those migrants that are coming up thinking that they might have a chance to get across the border, the 31% of women who are assaulted on the way up, and 17% of men assaulted sexually on the way up. You talk about the 60,000 unaccompanied minors that are brought up and used for all different reasons. You tell that to the family of my friend, he became a good friend, was fighting his own opioid heroin abuse issues, was winning, was losing, was winning, was losing. And during the course of all of that, he was attempting to keep others from going that route and ultimately lost his life. And I stood at his coffin just a few weeks back. You tell them that this is a manufactured crisis, and this president shouldn't follow the advice of Customs and Border Patrol agents who say that where the wall works, it works very well. And where we can use electronic surveillance to the better, let's use that. But the wall is needed. And then ask why Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, and others voted for the wall. And in 2013, many of those, most of those, voted for 700 miles of wall that never got put up.
Right.
So, I mean, this is ridiculous that they are trying to shut down government to the point of making it Trump's shutdown. He said he was willing to accept it, but we haven't given him a bill yet that he could veto it. So it's still the Schumer-Pelosi shutdown.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, Tim. How cohesive are you guys on the Republican side in the House? Because, you know, out here in the real world, we're seeing even liberals like Cher. And I think there was an article in the HuffPo or Washington Post saying there is a border crisis. Give Trump his money, get the wall done, and let's get back to work. So I'm seeing cracks. And I think even Tulsi Gabbard, right, the other day said, let's get the wall and let's get it done. Didn't she say that? And there was another Democrat congresswoman, can't remember her name, just on last night.
I didn't know that. I heard Cher, yeah.
Yeah. So
most of them aren't saying wall, but they're saying border security, including fencing and enhancements, those type of things. No, truly, they are starting to see, they've seen the Republicans stand firm in the House. We only lost this week on the bills that they're trying to say this will open up government. When Mitch McConnell said, hey, if you send anything here that the president won't sign, we're not even taking it up, and he proved it yesterday by adjourning and going home after the House had sent over, I think it was four bills that we stood firm on in the House as Republicans and voted against, except for just a handful of defectors for various reasons who voted for the bills.
Yeah, one of those was Fred Upton. Firm. Yeah, one of those was Fred Upton. What's going on with Fred Upton? His name keeps popping up on some of these Democrat stuff, and I'm like, why is he doing this?
Well, he knows his district. He represents his district, and for some reason, being part of the Problem Solvers Caucus, he at least now has believed he's needed to vote for those pieces of legislation. I would argue differently, but I represent the 7th district. There are plenty of people in the 7th district that don't like my votes, but I also know that there's a majority of people in the district that do like my votes, and they elected me to do that. So it's the right thing to do. It's the number one responsibility of members of Congress to defend and protect our citizens against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And when you have an invasion force, truly, that was perpetrated by liberal elements and assisted by liberal elements coming to our border to try to overtake the walls, the fences, the gates, throw rocks at our border enforcement authorities, I mean, come on. What are we supposed to do? Would any other country accept that? Of course not.
What's your take on the federal, president using emergency powers and needing congressional approval for that?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, we could override. It would take a majority. I believe it's a 2/3 majority, so a super majority to override. And basically veto the president doing that action. That wouldn't happen. I would certainly support him as the chief executive to do as Commander-in-Chief what's necessary to secure our country against illegal activities trying to force themselves on this country and costing lives of citizens. So I would stand with him. I think he's doing the right thing right now, saying that's not my first choice. Congress ought to do it. And indeed, he's right. Congress ought to take care of this. We ought to be sending him legislation as good Americans who believe in our country and believe in the laws of our country and have taken oaths to uphold the Constitution of the United States to do what we should do and give him a chance to either sign it or veto it. That's the way it ought to work. So, again, this is not a presidential shutdown.
Well,
it truly is congressional shutdown. More specifically, it's a Schumer-Pelosi shutdown.
And let me ask you this, Tim. When it comes to using the military, you know, if a Chinese flotilla came across the Pacific, entered American territorial waters, and attempted to drop soldiers on the beach, we would use the military to stop that, would we not?
No, posse comitatus.
Would we not? I mean, if there were Chinese refugees, whatever, coming across American territorial water and try to land on our beach, would we not use the military to stop that?
Well, we certainly would. If it was just Chinese or Cuban refugee seekers, asylum seekers, we would probably use our law enforcement first. But if it was the type of thing that would be an invasion where guns, knives, you name it, would be used, I think the president would indeed have the authority to use military, at least the National Guard, to call the governors. And I would hope that any governor that would see that would use the National Guard to protect their borders as well. So,
but it's his purview to protect our borders with the U.S. military, right? It's something we haven't worried about in this country since 1812. But
right.
Yeah,
so, right. And we can be very grateful that we have this president at this time in the history of our nation who has the guts, intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, regardless of what it does to my my popularity, I made the commitment to secure the borders. To see him down on the borders in McAllen, Texas the other day and talking to the leadership of the Border Patrol that knows exactly what's going on, to hear the Lieutenant Governor of Texas talking about the incursion that's taken place in his state and the type of impact, illegal impact, from various aspects, assures us that this is not a manufactured crisis. This is truly a crisis that has been allowed to happen because for too long, presidents talked about securing our borders, and that includes Republican and Democrat presidents. And finally, we have one who says, I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to be like one former president who said, read my lips, no new taxes, and then went back on that pledge. I said, read my lips, we're going to secure our borders, and we're going to build a wall, and he's going to do it. And I think he has all right now to look at Nancy Pelosi, as he did last week, and say, Nancy, if I were to give you everything you want in the negotiation here, everything that you want, within 30 days, would you give me the border security I want? And, of course, that means, in using that language, that means that includes a wall. And she point-blank said, no, we will not negotiate on any funding for a wall until you open it. And she didn't say until you. You must open up the government, which is only partially shut down. But nonetheless, it's shutting down and not paying and furloughing people that have jobs to do, and important jobs to do, like TSA, like the Milan prison guards that are working without pay in dangerous situations, and air traffic controllers and the like. They ought to be paid. I've signed on legislation to make sure that during the shutdown they're paid. We'll see if Nancy Pelosi is willing to take that up and move it across, or if truly she wants to make sure, number one, that the 11th came and went without them receiving their checks, and the shutdown continues. So I think people like Tulsi Gabbard and others are starting to get a little bit squirrely about what's taking place and hearing their constituents say, this isn't a Trump shutdown. This isn't a Democrat shutdown. This isn't a Republican shutdown. This is Congress's responsibility. You better get something done.
Yeah. So we can certainly tell our listeners this. Call Debbie Stabenow. Call Gary Peters. Call your Democratic and Republican congressman and say, we want our wall. Open up the government, give Trump the money for the wall. Be done with it.
Right. And tell your Republican representatives, we don't have any Republican senators, but Republican representatives, stand tough, keep the faith, hold the line, stick with the president. If they call me, that will just give me more numbers. We have overwhelming numbers of people have been calling my office who have said, thank you for standing firm, keep doing it. I don't mind being bucked up. I don't mind people saying, we want you to stand firm, because that's what I'm going to do. I don't like seeing this partial shutdown of government. It's wrong to ask people to do a job without paying them. If we did that in the private sector, in business world, Gary, you know that very well.
Yep.
They take you to court, and you would lose. The same thing should happen here. We need to get it open. But when you have two people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi who have no idea what it means to bargain in good faith, who don't understand a president who knows how to negotiate, and a president who said, hey, what's it going to take? I saw his plan last week. I saw what he's offered. He's offered extensive dollars to increase the number of magistrates to deal with asylum requests. He's put in more money to build more facilities to house the asylum seekers. He's put in language to go after the Flores law, Flores decision, the court that says you can't keep children and their adult guardians or parents together for more than, I think it's 20 days. So you have to separate them. And then the president gets all sorts of heat for separating families when the requirements of the courts make that the law of the land. So he's put that type of stuff in. He's also said, through various intermediators, including the vice president, I'm willing to look at the DACA reform as well.
Right. Right.
Now, I, for one, can say I would deal with that as well. I voted for the Goodlatte bill that put $25 billion toward the wall. It also took care of 700,000 DACA recipients, giving them a legal status, not citizenship, not a pathway to citizenship, but at least a legal status so they could stay here without worry, as long as they kept their nose clean in the process. And so we are able to negotiate, but Nancy and Chuck don't want to negotiate. And that's why this president, I think, well-advisedly said to them, he stood up and he said, bye-bye. There's no reason to spend any more time here if you're unwilling to even negotiate toward a compromise settlement to open our government up again, but also to secure our borders.
Yeah. Tim?
So we'll see what happens.
I misspoke earlier. I said 1812, but I totally forgot about us defending our border with General Blackjack Pershing in the early 1900s against Mexican incursions across the border. We used federal troops then. In fact, we even went so far as to chase them back into Mexico, Pancho Villa and his people. But I wanted to ask you about the permanent tax cut status for non-corporations. That's not going to happen, is it?
Well, not yet. The Democrats blocked that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They blocked it very clearly. Again, it's so frustrating that a number of times we sent bills over from the House to do just that.
So we got it. We have it on a temporary basis under the prior legislation that Trump asked for, but it probably won't go permanent under the Democrats.
Well, who knows? Who knows? We're going to keep pushing it. We're going to keep promoting it. And the Democrats know that they have about 4.5 more years until they're going to face that ending. I would hope that within that time period, the Republicans will take the majority in the House again.
Well, yeah.
We'll keep Trump in the White House for a second term, and then we can get it done.
I think we have to point out, though, that Nancy herself was opposed to that permanent tax cut, and that's one way of keeping them from getting the House again next time.
Well, we tried to do that this last time, and sadly, some within your listening area, not necessarily your listeners, but your listening area, the suburban, highly educated individual, especially the female population, for some reason said, we don't like Trump. We don't like his attitude, his words, his actions, his past history. I think they forgot about how good the economy is going for their families, their kids, their grandkids. But they said, the only way we have an opportunity to express our displeasure of the president is to vote Republicans out of office, so we lose Mike Bishop, we lose Trotsky, we almost lose some other members here in the Michigan delegation, fortunately, my people stood firm for me, and I'm thankful to the Trumpocrats that are out there. We're kind of like the Reagan Democrats.
Blue dogs.
Who like the toughness of this president to say, America first. I'm going to do what it takes, whether you like my attitude or not. I hope my actions prove that I love this country and I want us to succeed. And I want our economy to grow, and I want our security to grow. I want our military to be the strongest again in the world with no lapse of that. And I want the people around the world to hear us, and when they hear us, to say, America has spoken. We can expect it to be carried out.
Yeah. So speaking of that, Tim, have you had a chance to work or speak with Alyssa Slotkin?
I have. And in fact, I invited all of the new Democrat members of our delegation to meet with me. I offered to come to their offices. This last week, two of them came to my office. One was Alyssa. I've not heard from Rashid Tlaib yet. But I have talked with the other three and have had good conversation with Haley Stevens, with Andy Levin, and with Alyssa Slotkin. In fact, I said to Alyssa, you know, based upon the fact your father, as you've said, was a long-time, lifetime conservative Republican, what happened to you? What would it take for you to come over?
Walk away. Hashtag walk away.
Yeah, I will say this. I've listened to her on Gruber a couple times, and I'm kind of holding my judgment. Did she or did she not support Nancy Pelosi? Because she said she wouldn't in the election. Did she support Pelosi?
Yeah, she didn't, but... And this is something I talked to her about. So I won't go into much detail, but it not perceived well around on both sides of the aisle when you vote present. You don't vote for anybody as an alternative to Nancy.
Right.
And that hurt her a little bit, and that made some people wonder if she had cut a deal with the speaker to not vote for somebody else, but to not vote against her. Time will tell, but I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I would even give Rashida Tlaib the benefit of one mistake, but no more. No more like that.
Yeah.
Our Michigan delegation is known for our character. We, even the Republicans or Democrats, we still were respected as a thoughtful delegation. And whether Republican or Democrat, people that were serious-minded. And while we had strong beliefs that may have been opposition to some of our delegation members, we still dealt with civility in the process.
Tim,
and,
do you have any Cortez stories?
We'll let that continue.
Okay.
Well, Tim, we're at the bottom of the top of the hour, so I appreciate you calling in. If you have anything you need to get out to us, please, by all means, you don't have to just do the once a month. You're always welcome on the show.
Well, I appreciate that. Good to be with you. And hey, this is still America.
Happy New Year.
Keep it on.
Yes, Happy New Year, Tim. Thank you so much.
Happy New Year.
All right, bye bye. All right, and there's the end of the hour. That was Congressman Tim Walberg, 7th District from Michigan. Always happy to have him call into the show.
Anything good else? Insight.
Yeah, absolutely. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news.
You need to know.
See you next week.